If you will, open up your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Thank you for coming out this evening. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's always good to be able to come together to worship God in spirit and in truth, and to encourage one another and stir one another up to love and good works as we see the day of the Lord drawing near. This evening, I want us to take a look at one of the most popular doctrines in the religious world. This evening, I want us to take a look at the issue of mechanical instruments in worship. And one of the reasons why I think it's important for us to examine this doctrine is the fact that I've been hearing that there are many churches of Christ who were once faithful now starting to bring in mechanical instruments into their worship services. So tonight I intend to answer whether or not mechanical instruments are authorized in our worship. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 25, it says, "He," that is King Hezekiah, "then stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with harps, and with lyres, according to the command of David and of Gad the king's seer and of Nathan the prophet, for the command was from the Lord through his prophets." Now, many of our denominational and liberal friends will often come to this verse and say, "See, God was okay with it in the Old Testament, thus it's okay today for mechanical instruments to be used in worship." But that fails to see two important points about this verse. First of all, let's read that verse again. "He then stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with harps, and with lyres, according to the command of David and of Gad the king's seer and of Nathan the prophet, for the command was from the Lord through his prophets." God commanded specific instruments in the Old Covenant, in the Old Law, to be used in worship to him. That is not authority for the use of the modern day instrument. The second point that that fails to see comes from the fact that this was under the Old Law, an Old Law, an Old Covenant, which we are not under. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 8. In Hebrews chapter 8, verses 7 through 13, the Hebrew writer would say, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second. For finding fault with them, he says, 'Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, for they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen, and everyone his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." This same old covenant we are not under is the same old covenant that Christ nailed to the cross. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 14, Paul would write, "When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." So we see that it was the old covenant, an old covenant that we are no longer under. But what does the New Testament have to say on this issue? And the truth is, brethren, there is no example, command, or implication of mechanical instruments in the New Testament. It's not there. There's no authority for it. The next point I want us to consider this evening comes from Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 19. In there, Paul writes, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord." So we see we are commanded to sing, but I want us to notice a Greek word in that from that verse. The Greek word that is translated making melody, which is the word solo or salto, depending on what translation, or excuse me, what manuscript you're reading from. And that word, solo or salto, really means to pluck or to strike the chords or strings on a musical instrument. Now, that being said, many of our denominational and liberal friends will often point to that verse and say, well, to that particular word and say, well, see there? The New Testament commands we use mechanical instruments. But that fails to pay attention to the words of the verse. Let's read that last part of verse 19 again. Singing and salto, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. The heart is the instrument we are commanded to use today, not something else. Especially something not of a mechanical nature. Some of you may have heard of the phrase, the strings of the heart. Mechanical instruments are not authorized in the New Testament. A while back, I heard this one phrase from somebody I knew, someone I used to work with. She made this comment, you know, I just love that beautiful church organ or that beautiful church piano I hear every Sunday morning. But then she turned around and said a few minutes later, I can't stand churches that use rock music. But brethren, what has to be understood is that the piano and the organ are going to please God just as much as playing the electric guitar and slamming it across the pulpit. And I hope everyone here understands what I mean by that. Because, brethren, the scripture is very clear when it comes to worshiping God in an unauthorized way. Turn back to the verse that was read for us tonight, Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "It is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy. And before all the people, I will be honored." Nadab and Abihu failed to treat God as holy and honor him by offering strange fire. Some of your translations may say unauthorized fire. The truth is, similarly, the same can be said today when it comes to using mechanical instruments in worship. It's a failure to treat God as holy and honor him. Turn over to 2 John. 2 John 9 through 11. John writes, "Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring the teaching, do not receive him into your house, and do not give him a greeting, for the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds." Brethren, we need to use the instrument God commands us to use, not something else. We need to use the heart, not something mechanical. Thank you for your attention this evening. Perhaps you're here this evening and you have not become a Christian, but you have decided you want to become a Christian tonight. You put on Christ in baptism. The scripture is clear what one must do in order to become a Christian. You have to believe. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You have to repent, change your heart, change your mind. Acts 2, verse 38. Peter said unto them, repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have to confess Jesus as Lord. Romans 10, verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses unto salvation. And you have to be baptized. 1 Peter 3, verse 21. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from flesh, but the appeal to God for a good conscience. And you have to live a life faithful unto him. Revelation 2, verse 10. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Or perhaps you are here this evening, and you are a Christian, but you realize you're in error and you're living in sin and you want to come forward, confess your sins, we'll pray to God for forgiveness. Whatever your need, if I have described you tonight, please do not hesitate. Please come forward as we stand and sing.